Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. Tens of thousands of women around the world have claimed their free subscription, each issue dedicated to inspiring you to live deeper, more authentic, and inspired lives. You know, what if you had a secret code unlocking your life? How would your life be different if you knew how to embrace your inner priestess, awakening to the natural rhythm flowing throughout your life? Joining me today is Asha Ramakrishna, the number one best-selling author of the book, The Priestess Code, Awakening the Modern Woman, where feminine principles are revealed for a more organic and harmonious approach to life. Well, I got to tell you, with a background in molecular biology and business development, she breaks all esoteric teachings into practical, logical approaches to living. Asha is a minister of spiritual peacemaking and incorporates philosophies such as feng shui, karma healing, human design, just to name a few. Welcome, Asha.
Hello, hello. I'm excited to be here with you and your community.
Oh, I'm excited to have you. Our paths have been crossing for a while. And we have so many friends in common, and I'm like, we got to get Asha on the show. So thank you, my beautiful friend.
Yeah, I'm excited, you know, to talk about these principles. It's such a unique time that we live in right now, and I really am feeling that all of us are craving this.
Oh, I see it in my community, in my own life, Asha, but as well as my community. I serve a global community of women who, I like to say, are waking up to their soul's truth, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone's journey and way of awakening. Awakening is different, but we're all yearning for a sense of purpose, passion, and really alignment. Mm-hmm. And that's a word that keeps showing up in a lot of my conversations. Well, in the intro, I said, you know, here you are, background in molecular biology and business development, and then spiritual teacher, and some people call you spiritual midwife, right? Mm. How the heck did that journey unfold, my friend?
I mean, you know, it's like, how does every journey unfold, right? Like one step in front of the other, a little bit. And I think it's also that, you know, my lineage, I'm part Indian and part Venezuelan. And I think that when you kind of hold a lineage that is so ancient and so rooted in spiritual practices, you almost can't escape it in a lot of ways, even if you try to, you know, kind of like fit into the process of this world. But I think the most pivotal moment for me, so I had always been spiritually curious, you know, meditator, teaching like whatever I knew in terms of spirituality. And I kind of had a moment when I was in a corporate job that kind of the quintessential heroine story, right? Like I was in this job, I wasn't very happy, wasn't supporting my family in the way that I wanted to support my family, which was me being present to my little girls more. And I just had that moment where I was like, I can't do this anymore. And through a series of things that unfolded, you know, the universe gifted me a severance package that allowed me to, I know, it really changed my life because it, you know, I think that so many people, we all like have those moments in life, and I don't think it's just one. We have those moments in life where we're like, I need to take a step back from my life and have time to just really be present to what's happening to me, this wrestling that I'm feeling inside. And so I had that opportunity then. And in that period of time, I was meditating a lot. I was teaching a class that was called Reclaiming Your Power. Of course, it was about me reclaiming my own power. And I had that experience in the shower where I heard, hold these principles to be truth and to live by. And I'm like, what? What is happening right now? And I just like ran out of the shower, you know, barely grabbing a towel. And I wrote down what I heard. And when I wrote these principles, I'm looking down at my notebook and I'm like, these are really nice, but I don't live this way. And that was the turning point for me to really go beyond spiritual practices, right? Go beyond meditation, go beyond connecting with guides, like go beyond all these things that are feel like they're a little bit outside of us, and more kind of coming back into what it means to be a being on this planet and embracing those feminine aspects that, I mean, I'm giving it the word feminine just because to sort of make a distinction, but they're really about being an organic being. And I spent about 2 years just even on the first principle, which is your seasonal being accepted. I was like, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. All I know is climbing up a corporate ladder or achieving more or making more money or whatever, right? Like all I know is that process, and you're asking me to have reverence for winter.
That so you must have been like, what does that mean?
What does that mean? You know, and it was about finding the goal, like the gold in each season, and about radically accepting each season. And without having ideas of what each season meant, it was about internalizing those seasons. And yeah, I live in New England, so for me it's kind of easy to pay attention to that. But then also the sort of next layer was, how do I embrace those seasons when they're internally, right? Because it can be a beautiful outside summer day, but if I'm feeling a winter energy, how do I radically accept that in a moment that feels as though society's saying, well, you shouldn't be feeling that. You should just go out and have a good time. And I'm like, no, but there's something deeper and there's something dormant that's wanting attention.
So it's paying attention and recognizing what you're feeling and honoring it instead of judging it.
Totally, totally. And I think that lately where I've taken it a step beyond that is about having ceremony with what is and not always knowing what it is, right? It's like when you have that wrestling, and I keep coming back to this wrestling thing because I think we all have it. Like I think there isn't a place where, I don't know, most of us don't come to like, I'm in nirvana and I'm in bliss. Like we're still human and we're still needing each of us to evolve no matter how much spiritual knowledge you have, no matter how wise you are, no matter how much you are a teacher to everyone else, you're still going to have those moments that feel like something is stirring in me. And it doesn't have to be painful. It can, but it doesn't have to be painful.
And so as this unfolded and you received these principles, did you start incorporating them into your own life?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it was like the symbiosis, right? It was like I was incorporating them. They were incorporating me. Like it was really this just like organic, like it was like a relationship. And when I would, I mean, I kid you not, when I would start writing about each of the principles, or the book, or through, I mean, it took me 10 years to write this book. Like it's a synthesis of at least a decade of understanding the principles and how they unfold in my life and how they unfold in other people's lives. And every time I would write about one of them, life would show me the depth of like the next layer of how this would go. Right. And the next principle is deconstruct and construct it as your nature. It's like the Shakti Shiva of energy, meaning like the feminine, the Shakti energy, sacred feminine coming in to deconstruct an aspect that doesn't align with our truth anymore in love, right? Deconstruct it in love, and then allowing for stillness, which I think for most of us is like the most painful thing. And then allowing the organic nature of what the next thing is that needs to be rebuilt.
So the yin and the yang, right? The feminine and the masculine.
Yeah, and they're at play. It's not, you know, it's not about one over another. It's about
no,
a play.
No, that's what,
of
that's
both.
What I've learned on my own path. I used to think it was one way or another, and I'm so glad that I was able to integrate, and that's when my life opened up. And we're going to take a break, Asha, and I want to invite everyone before we go to break to visit Asha at ashaisnow.com. We're going to be back in a moment to talk more about the seven principles of the Priestess Code. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you being called to step into your truth and embrace your divinity? Are you ready to align your heart and soul, live an authentic life, and become a divine magnet for love and abundance? It's time to listen to your inner wisdom and clear the blocks holding you back from your best life. Leading intuitive prosperity coach, Akashic Records practitioner, and evidential medium Jamie Hearn of liveyourdivinity.com empowers and supports spiritual women like you to align your inner and outer worlds, embrace your soul's truth, and live your divinity. Through her intuitive gifts, grounded wisdom, and empowered coaching, Jamie guides women back into sacred alignment with their truth. Visit liveyourdivinity.com to learn more about Jamie's empowering programs and to schedule an Akashic Record reading.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book? Or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. With me today is Asha Ramakrishna, best-selling author of The Priestess Code, Awakening the Modern Woman. So construct and deconstruct was principle number two that you talked about, and that one really resonates because I had a, for myself, I remember going through the stage. I used to be a I started my first business in 92, and I was 14-hour days, you know, five iced coffees a day, drive, 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 but all fed from the wrong energy, the need to be loved and accepted if I could prove my success, you know, because I was a former welfare mom who turned a life around. But I know, looking back, I see, holy, was I in masculine energy, driven, right? Mm-hmm. No time for space, no time for me. Right. And then I went through the integration of like, I need to find balance. Then I swung too far in the feminine 10, 15 years ago. Right. And then the integration. Is that part of everyone's journey? And some, let me clarify, some may start too much in the feminine. Mine just happened. I was so much in the masculine for the, and was you, I was out of balance. That's my, there's nothing wrong with being in the masculine, but I was personally out of balance.
You know, I think, like, to answer that question, for me, I'm so connected to the collective. So I pay a lot of attention to what's happening at the collective level, right? And so when we look at that, we see that there's an imbalance. We see that, you know, the feminine is rising and it's like really demanding that it be recognized and that it be heard and that it be revered for what it is. And that's a process. And it's not always pretty to be in the deconstruct, right? Depending on what level of consciousness you have, right? And then when we look at individuals, I think each of us are at different places in this whole process. So, you know, I know a lot of people ask me, like, do I need to become a vegan? And like, a lot of what I say is like, look, only you know that. But I can tell you that if I look at it collectively, I think most men would benefit from being vegan. Most men would benefit from doing yoga, because these are the practices that are going to help them connect to kind of bringing a little bit more of that alignment, right? Because we're all being conditioned. We're all being conditioned that the masculine, the patriarchy is the thing. That's the ruler. That's what we have reverence for. That's what we worship. I'll even go as far as to say that. And the feminine is asking that it also be revered. And so when you're in that process, each of us are a little bit differently. I mean, I am like you, where I really kind of came in wired a little bit more masculine. You know, maybe it's the oldest of five, like immigrating here by myself, like all these things that I was like, no, I got to kind of be a hard ass and I got to like make money so I can send money back to my family. So I had that kind of, you know, very fiery nature to me. And the invitation of the more yin energy was a challenge for me. It really was a challenge for me because I didn't see it as important, right? And I think that this is what a lot of what many of us are experiencing is like, we feel that it's important. We feel that these yin aspects are important. We feel that ceremony is important. We feel that being in the energy of receiving is important, but there's a part of our brain, and it's really our programming that says, is that really valuable? But most of us, when we go through that, when we go through that stillness and really touch the feet of the feminine, we're like, yeah, this feels really delicious. And this feels really like loving, nurturing and loving to that place. And I don't want to say that, oh, being feminine is about all these soft qualities, because, you know, when you look at Hindu goddess archetype, you see that that's not true, right? You see like the Kali energy that is all about love, but she's about also disintegrating and deconstructing everything that doesn't truly align to your most beloved state of being. And so feminine can have that energy too. Like, we are spiritual warriors also. I just had a conversation with somebody that said, look, I just went to your, you know, the event that you had, and part of what rose up for me was that now I'm beginning to ask the question, all right, if that passive receiving mode is not all that the feminine's about, then what else is she? What does it mean to be in my feminine, in my divine feminine power? And what does that look like in my life for me? So we all have these individual paths, and as a collective, there's a story that I feel that many of us are wanting to support to bring greater alignment, greater balance, that sort of thing.
Oh, everything you're saying just really speaks to the journey I've been on. One of the things, too, for me, and I'm curious if for you, because our paths were similar at the beginning, where I was a lot into the masculine energy, more from a safety perspective. Like, I controlled everything, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Down to what I ate and everything. Learning to trust and let go, which I've come to believe is feminine energy. It wasn't until I could heal the wound related to that and learn to trust and let go and, you know, have faith in something bigger than myself. That's when my healing begun. Is that what you find, that a lot of us in the fear-based energies or in the collective energy, learning to trust is a core thing that we have to heal?
That is one of them for sure. And one of the pieces that I've been talking a lot lately is healing that trust within sisterhood. I really feel, right?
I have an audience of 40,000 women, and it's a conversation. You know, you know how I believe. Let's support each other. My business model is feminine collaboration. I only play partner, support women who show up fully in their partnerships to support and love up others. So the wound that you just spoke about, it's there. It's there.
Yeah.
Women have been hurt by other women in competition.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. And some of us are like, well, you know, like I have such a great time when there's evolved sisters and it's nice and it's a true sisterhood. And also I kind of have this past, whether it's this lifetime, other lifetime, or a lineage, right, of sisters having been separated. And that's one of the principles too, connect to a sisterhood, it will strengthen you. And that was the one that I was like, please don't make me work on this.
That's
please
so cute.
Don't.
Like, okay, give me six principles. Let's leave this one off.
This has been my greatest, most beloved teacher because it's really asked me to be discerning about who is a sister, inner circle sister. It's also taught me how to have compassion for those who are not as aware of the ways in which they have been colonized. It's also allowed me to look at a model of how do we begin this healing? Because I really feel, and this became super, I was in Glastonbury, England, and it became crystal clear to me how essential the sisterhood aspect is to the evolution of humans. We many of us in the Western world have kind of assimilated spiritual journey as our own path. And yeah, ultimately we're the ones that rebirth ourselves, right? Like all that being true. And at the same time, every spiritual tradition that you look at always says have a community. And there's a reason for that. Because when we feel supported, when we feel like someone's got our back, when we feel like other people are there to support us and we show up for them too, something magical happens, right? We don't feel alone. Our doubts have less of an opportunity to creep up. And we have this like collective vortex of all of us seeking individual, like we each do it in our own flavor, but all of us are seeking this connection to one another, to ourselves, and to, you know, something that's greater than what we can see, feel, and touch on this planet, too.
Oh, sisterhood's played a major role in my life. But like you, it took me a while to embrace it. You know, I was a hermit, a solo, you know, just that. I was a loner in many ways.
Yeah.
Even though I ran large events, I'm a hermit, a spiritual hermit at my core. And I can hold space for large things and bring together women. But 15, 20 years ago, I loved to bring it together and step out and watch the circle. Now I lead the circles. And I share with my clients that when you have your sisterhood around you, your divine support team, sometimes I call it divine soul team, that inner circle that raises you up, there's nothing like it.
No. Because it's not so much about a group of women. It's about true intimacy in relationship, right?
Yes. Authenticity, vulnerability.
Yeah. And realness, right? It's like, I mean, how nice would it be to not have to wear a mask of any kind, meaning that we play roles for other people? Like, and how nice would it be to just be like, I'm showing up as me. It's Asha. That's it. Here I am.
That's such a gift.
It is such a gift when we can
do that. It's liberating. And when we come back from our break, Asha, let's finish up your seven principles because I want everyone to hear the juiciness of them, and then we can dive deeper into any other principles you'd like to cover. So far we've done seasonal being, construct and deconstruct. We touched on sisterhood and connection, and when we come back, you can cover some more because this is a juicy conversation, my friend, so thank you. I'll be back in a moment with Asha Ramakrishna, author of The Priestess Code. You can learn more at ashaisnow.com. We'll be right back.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Do you feel overwhelmed and unsure about what steps to take to find peace, joy, and purpose in your life? Chris Groth is a spiritual mentor, energy healer, and best-selling author of the novel Soliloquy, a novel of healing, soul connection, and passion, and co-author of several best-selling books. Chris is passionate about helping women connect more deeply to their own truth, to promote healing, and restore balance to the body, heart, mind, and soul, so they can live a soul-connected life. Chris serves clients around the world through spiritual mentoring sessions, energy healings, and powerful custom-guided sound healing meditations that bring in the energy of crystal singing bowls. If you're ready to heal your heart, nurture your soul, and illuminate your path, schedule a complimentary virtual session with Chris today at chrisgroth.com. That's Chris with a K and G-R-O-T-H.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTR-FM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. Welcome back. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Asha Ramakrishna. Oh, my beautiful friend, I love that whole conversation about sisterhood. It's made such a difference in my life. So the seven principles that you share in your book, The Priestess Code, I forgot to ask as before you started sharing them with us, are they linear or... Or do you have to follow them in order, or are they kind of like fluid and you find yourself, you know, working through them depending where you are on the journey?
I think it's both, right? I think that there is magic in going through the sequence as they came through. And I also think that, hey, you know what, like wherever you are, that's awesome. So some people will say to me like, oh, I'm not a great reader. Like I can't really sit and read an entire book. And I'm like, you know what I found out is that you can pick up the book and just thumb through the pages, and wherever you land, that's what you need to read. Because each chapter is so short. And so whatever is medicine you need to receive that day, just take it in. And so sometimes you're right. People come in and they resonate with the sisterhood one and they're like, that's where I want to go. I'm like, by all means, like, go wherever your heart calls you to go.
And I love that idea, flipping through the pages. I do that with a lot of spiritual books. What message do I most need to hear today?
Uh-huh. And love it.
Yeah, I just something I've done for many years, so that one really resonated with me. So what would the third principle be?
So the third principle is you are here to be the highest form of who you are, nothing else. Love that. This is so much about taking 100% accountability and responsibility for your own frequency, for how you show up in your space, in your body, in your family, in your work. You know, this is about, like, even though achieving things is a beautiful attribute, what this principle is really calling us is to really focus on the being. Who are you at that being vibrational place? And it's kind of a place of being in presence. Like when you're in full on, head to toe in presence of your own energy, like you can pretty much heal everything. Like you can pretty much begin to move whatever it is that is needing to be moved. When you're not engaging the mind, when you're not engaging, you know, the beautiful masculine attributes, but right now in that place of highest vibration, you become an energetic being and you take responsibility for that. And I think it flows nicely into the sisterhood one because we call, you know, I know like you and I really connect to this principle of connect to a sisterhood, it will strengthen you, which is number four. Because when we create an evolved sisterhood and we come in not truly owning those parts of us that are kind of operating from a wounded place, it's a little bit more challenging to be in relationship and intimacy with another, right? And to really be in integrity with the relationship, with ourselves and with the other person. But when we are devoted to working on ourselves, and it doesn't have to be like, oh, what other blocks do I have that I need to, like, you know, tease out? It doesn't have to be that. It's just really about taking ownership of how we show up in every space. And then when we have that kind of intent in our heart, it allows for that sisterhood piece to have space to be something different than what it's been. Make sense?
Yeah, and it shifts the energy of the container that we're stepping in within that sisterhood. Mm. And actually gives others permission to step into your container, right? It's like
totally.
They feel safe. They feel safe and heard because you're holding that energy.
You know, it was such an interesting byproduct of, you know, I've been running retreats for a long time, and I would always be, because I'm a goal-oriented person, so I would always be like, okay, these are the objectives. This is what you're going to get from it. And then at the end of it, I'd be like, so did you get what you needed? Yeah. And I feel so connected to this group of women. And it's just like, thing that we don't always value. I've been having these conversations too of like, we don't always value feminine principles, right? Like, okay, maybe we value a nurturing mother, but are we willing to put a super nurturing woman on retainer in our business? Other, right? And then other feminine attributes, like when we like come in and like, you know, very Kali or Durga-like and say, that's not okay. You cannot treat another person like that. We don't value that, right? Like we have a name for that. It's all these things that as a feminine has the force that the feminine has are things that we just don't value in our society.
And isn't that sad?
Oh, and this is why I'm here. Like
that's why you're on a mission.
Because like enough of that, right? And it honestly, I can say like my frankness is that this isn't about something outside of me. Sometimes this is about me not honoring the value that my nurturing and compassionate nature brings to the table. That I ought to be on retainer for every CEO that I get to work with, because these are pieces of being human that truly allow a person to step into their most expansive place. And, you know, those of us who are a little bit more fiery and call people out on things that aren't in integrity, we are shunned for that. And we feel a little bit like, ooh, maybe I need to be a little bit more diplomatic. I mean, maybe you do, but maybe you don't.
Yeah, and that's only a personal decision that each have to make in their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, principle four, I'm noticing, is compassion. It's got to be a big one. And is this also self-compassion?
Four is comparison. Is that what you mean, that compare yourself to no other?
Yes. Now, in principle seven. I'm sorry, principle seven. Principle four, sorry about that.
That's okay. So, I mean, I think that, honestly, compassion is threaded throughout all of this. I mean, compassion, it's like almost like the arms that hold all these principles. That's what it feels like to me, even though compassion may not have its own principle. It's just like holding all of this.
And my question for you is, with sisterhood, which is the next one, and then we have two more to cover. Let's go through the other two, because we did sisterhood. What are your final two? And then I want to have some questions for you.
Okay. So permission is no longer needed. You are here to create with free will. Expand this awareness.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's right. That's the empowering.
I'm a creatrix, so I have to serve for my soul and create. And when once I gave myself permission that is who I am, I need to lead from my heart, everything shifted for me. So I love the permission one.
Because many of us are like, well, you know, it needs to be okay with this person. It needs to be okay with that. It needs to be okay with this. But when we really step into that power that we hold in our sacral energy and that connection that our sacral has with our heart, it's like, no, I'm here to be on fire if that's what I want to be. Right? And I'm here to really live in the way that I really want to live. And sometimes that's a process. That's okay. But it's taking those little steps to saying, you know what? I'm kind of done asking for your permission or feeling like we have to have this dynamic of I'm, you know, the colonized woman, the domesticated woman that it needs to follow certain rules and protocol. This is about us letting the wild woman within really have a say at the table of our lives.
And that's a big shift for a lot of women, right? Because of depending on how they've been living their life, how have they been raised. And I could see that could be a struggle of allowing themselves or giving themselves permission to show up at the table.
And also, like, negotiating that with our families, right? Like, you know, okay, if you're a single woman and you're like, you know what? Yeah, I can totally own that. No one cares what I do. And so you have that kind of liberty. I mean, maybe people have a say, but you feel like I have more freedom because no one owns me kind of thing. But some of us have families that we need or want to negotiate with. We don't have to, I suppose. And that space, I mean, that's a compassionate space when you can say, show up to your partner, show up to your kids and say, hey, guys, this isn't working for me anymore. And I get that we've trained each other to have life be this way, but I'm shifting this. And everyone's going to be like, what? No, you can't. What do you mean? And like, allow that space. Like, that's the stillness. Allow that space of all the, you know, everyone complaining to unfold because no one likes change. And just let it ride. And in love, hold that frequency and that energy of the beloved, right? Keep holding the energy of love and allow and trust that everyone will come back to the conversation a second time when everyone's dealt with their, you know, temper tantrum and that you'll be supported in it. And if not, you know, you have choices to make, right?
Exactly. For me, I think that was learning to honor my truth, and I'm blessed that I've been was in my relationship 25 years, but when I met him, I didn't know who I was. And I used to go, so, you know, what books are you reading? What, you know, what denomination are you? And he's like, don't become who I am. Become who you are. I see the wings, you know, waiting to bloom. And I'm like, no, no, tell me, because that was my wound, right? And then now he's like, I've been with so many women in the last 25 years just with you. But he encourages me, right? And that's what we're talking about is be who you are despite those outside relationships. Because really, that's what we are here to be, is authentic, vulnerable, and in our full power. And I'm blessed that I have someone that has supported my spiritual journey and unfolding without bringing his ego and feeling threatened, which I know I've had a lot of conversations with women. That's tough in some relationships.
It is, you know, and I think a lot of our men are changing and they are shifting. And that's why I mentioned the things of like, look, there are some practices that may not be adequate for women who are wanting to hold and be in their power. But I think they are adequate for men who are needing to quiet that aggressive masculine that they've kind of been taught to be, right? And so really, those are insecurities. Like the person who doesn't support somebody in their own unfoldment, is they're feeling a little afraid. They're feeling a little insecure, a little like, ooh, yeah, this person's powerful. I'm a little afraid of that. And it all could be totally unconscious. And sometimes I do feel that as women, we do become the spiritual leaders in our relationships, even though like you hear of biblical texts talking about it being the opposite. I really don't think that's the truth. I really think that today it is woman who's leading at that spiritual level.
Oh, I so believe that. We're going to talk about it after our next break, because I believe women are the nurturers of the next generation. And when we show up in our power, the ripple effect in our families, with our spouses, as well as our children, is powerful.
And right on.
I'll be back in a moment with Asha Ramakrishna. You can learn more at ashaisnow.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on Om Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. Asha, what you just said about, you know, women being the spiritual leaders, I have to tell you, since starting Aspire and getting on 13 years ago and diving even deeper into my own spiritual path, I have found that to be so true. I've watched women who transform from the inside out, embrace their own truth, their own power, and I've watched the ripple effects in the families. It's amazing. And I believe it's a gift to our children when they see the mother in the family, the woman in the family, embracing a truth. And that's whether it's a male child or a female child. The benefit is extraordinary. Have you discovered that in making the own changes in your life as well as the lives of your clients?
Well, I mean, I can only, you know, I mean, as I notice the people in my life, my clients, my students, it's a real honor. It's a real honor to watch people get to own parts of themselves that they hadn't given themselves permission to be, right? And it's a real honor to, I used to say that there was the Asha effect. Either people would divorce their partner or they would like attract a new, you know, a new boyfriend or whatever. And I was like, I cannot market that because people will be so afraid to work with me. But
I love it. They found their truth, though. They found their power.
Yes. You know, and like in my life, the thing that I see, and I'm so like, I hate using the word proud of my kids, but I feel so like elated that my girls truly care about other people and that they are the kind of people that stand up for other people and that they are the kind of people, even though they deal with their own thing, right? Like they have their own soul journey also. They also know that they deserve great love and that they deserve community and friendships and sisterhood and people who are their friends to really honor who they are. And to me, it's like, you know what? I can wash my hands. Like, my job is done. These are girls that know that they deserve great love and they deserve to sort of be in their own authenticity, even though they go through their teenage things, right? So for me, it's like watching that, I do think it has a lot to do with the fire walk that they have seen me walk through. Because we're definitely not the kind of family where we hide what we're going through. We just talk about it. You know, it's not like my kids are my therapist or anything like that, but we just sit and talk and say, hey, this is what's happening here. And this is what's going to happen this year. And is everyone okay with that? And, or these are the things that I'm wanting. These are the things that I'm wanting to claim more of. And, you know, can we talk about this, right? And each of us gets to have those kind of conversations. So I do think that it's made a difference in their life for sure.
Well, it also shows them how to show up for themselves by watching you show up for yourself, and plus they've witnessed your transformation and healing, right? But when you say, I want to claim this for myself, that gives them permission to claim their dreams and desires, right?
Totally.
Because you're being the role model to say, it's okay to have your own dreams and desires as an individual. And I think, you know, I'm at a different generation than you, and my daughter's now 35, and I'm a grandma. And I look at the different generations. I'm watching my 7-year-old granddaughter grow up, and I'm like, I want a different world for her, right?
Mm.
So it makes me even more passionate about the work I'm doing, about bringing messengers like you to my audience, right? Because I believe, my personal belief is I was given this media platform to do good and to give women a voice and a venue to be heard and share their message, while at the same time spreading love, wisdom, and inspiration, right? That's my path. But watching the generations and the stories, like from my mom's generation to mine, to my 35-year-old daughter, and now to my granddaughter, it's amazing to see. I can see the shift. I can see it. I can feel it. And it's amazing to watch. I can't wait to see what happens as, you know, we all embrace this, the feminine energies, even more within ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I can feel that place that you're in. I'm not there, but I can feel that great love that you have for the lineage, your lineage, the lineage of woman, right? Grandmother, mother, daughter, and the possibilities of what's next too. Like that's such a beautiful place of love, right?
Yeah, it gives me my, it put it this way, I've always had a sense of purpose. And when you become a grandmother, it's different than a mother. I can't explain it. And I also have a 19-year-old grandson. And it fueled my purpose in a different way. Like, come on, we've got to be the change we want to see in the world, which, you know, I know those are words that we hear often, but I live it. I want to be that in my own unique way, not trying to do it any other way. I just follow my soul's truth, as you do, allow myself to unfold and just stay focused on my mission and my soul's purpose. And then the ripple goes out.
Yeah. And probably in the grandmother phase, there isn't that much attachment to, like, oh my gosh, like, this person has to be able to grow up and be independent and provide for themselves. And
Dale, I think, yeah, it's different. You're right. Especially, I was a single mom for much of her life. So for me, that was even more pressure. And now you're right. I look at the little one, but I don't have that kind of pressure of molding her. I'm the container, right?
Mm.
Like, I'm the one
like
they
salad.
All come to. Yeah, my daughter, my granddaughter, and they call me Ama in my family. Mm. My grandson picked that one 19 years ago. And it's a different energy, but it feels like I can hold space more now at this age, I'll be 57, than I could then. That's the only way I can internally describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And stay grounded in my truth and not be pulled into whatever may be happening. And that alone is a blessing.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, it's a fun time. And in our last few moments, Asha, is there a piece of wisdom more than you've already shared that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I'll leave you with the last principle because it's so beautiful and it talks so much about the trust that you spoke about earlier. It's your needs and soul wants are provided even before you need or want them. Embody this intention. And it's really about trusting that we don't have to chase after anything, that if we can sit in the stillness of knowing that we are fully connected to our soul, everything that we need, want, desire, you know, every step that needs to come into focus for us to take the next step and the next step will arrive when we, like, really live in that intentional place. And this is really about, this is about abundance. Like, this is about, like, other level abundance, not just money. It's about money and fulfillment, money and connection, money and service to others.
It's having it both, but it's also being in that place knowing that it's already yours.
It's such a dance. You know, I definitely, like, as much as I was running away from the sisterhood one, I would definitely say that this one has been a great teacher for me also. And I'd say I don't have this one fully mastered. But, hey, we all have room to grow, so.
And you know what? We never stop growing, right? There is no there. And that was something I really had to embrace, that this is all an unfolding for as long as we're alive. There isn't, well, if I do this much spiritual work, personal development work, I will be there. And I always tell my clients, if anyone tells you there's a there, run like hell, because there is no there. Just keep unfolding. And I want to invite everyone to visit ashaisnow.com, learn more about her book, her offerings, her amazing retreats. A friend of mine just attended your recent one. She's still gushing. So, I'm hoping to make one. Beautiful location. Just could feel the love and the energy. And Mel told me how beautiful the container you created was. So I invite everyone to visit ashaisnow.com. Asha, thank you for joining me, my friend, and thank you for the beautiful work you're doing in the world. I look forward to staying connected.
My pleasure. This was really fun. Thank you for opening up space for this voice of the Priestess Code to have a say with your community.
Well, everyone, until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.